910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Richard Cantu. There's been a massive response in Baltimore, including the U.S. Coast Guard, to the collapse of a large section of the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River. It happened after a container ship hit a bridge support. At an average 30,000 vehicles daily, it's the busiest bridge in Baltimore. Fire spokesman Kevin Cartwright to ABC News affiliate WBAL Radio.
We have a reason to believe that there are vehicles, including one possible tractor trailer or large truck, and it's anticipated that approximately 7 individuals are actually in the water.
Additionally, there was overnight work going on at the bridge. So far, we don't know the conditions of those who went into the water. At present, there's no word of casualties. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are faulting Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher for leaving the U.S. House before his term is over. Roger Roth tells the Journal Sentinel he's disappointed by Gallagher's decision. Andre Jacques says he'd be in favor of a special election. As it is, the seat would be vacant from late April to early January. Officials are investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on recall petitions targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says she called the Racine County District Attorney's Office after her signature was forged.
And I also called the Elections Commission to ask if there's a way to get my name redacted off the list because this doesn't represent me.
Haggerty spoke to WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Bobby Portis asked, what's it like to finally have Chris Middleton back?
It's fun to have a whole team, fun to, you know, build it these last 11, 10 games and, you know, try to trend in the right direction, man. It's that time of year now and it's exciting.
Baseball, the Brewers have some injury concerns. Outfielder Garrett Mitchell will be out the next 4 to 6 weeks or longer with a fractured left hand suffered in batting practice over the week. And a report from baseball insider John Heyman says that Jackson Chourio will need tending to his elbow nearly every day following an injury he suffered as a 12-year-old in a Venezuelan youth league. NFL Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he has no problem signing Jordan Love to a contract extension sometime soon.
Certainly having 4 years with him, I think, gives us a lot of comfort what he's all about and how, you know, his teammates look at him and the organization looks at him.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show 1 week until the Wisconsin primary and a wake-up call. Devil's Advocates across the state, 4 to 6.
It is going to be cloudy with a few rain showers this morning. That will change to snow by mid to late morning with another inch or so of accumulation possible by the time everything winds down late today into this evening. Temperatures falling as well will drop into the low 20s by late afternoon. The wind northwest 10 to 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Could see a few flurries with a high near 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air. Todd Alba joins the show. Then we hear from the League of Women Voters about the two referendum on the April 2nd ballot. Don't miss it.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Roots and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you're likely to see plenty of both of those if you head up to Oshkosh. Today is day number one of the 62nd annual WPS Farm Show at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. Welcome in, everybody. I am the fabulous Farm Babe, and we as a team planning on taking in the show tomorrow at the EAA Grounds. Just a quick reminder that show hours are 9 until 4 today and tomorrow, 9 until 3 on Thursday. Cost of admission is absolutely free, but you do pay $5 for parking. Stu Muck will give you more details on the weather for the show or whatever you're doing outside. We're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And we're also talking about watch parties for the season premiere of Top Chef, which is focused in on Wisconsin. This morning, I want to take some time to talk about what's going on, or maybe not going on, with the Farm Bill. You know, when Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher announced that he's going to be departing from his responsibilities in Washington, D.C. a little earlier than expected, it put back in question just exactly how any policy is going to get done, let alone a farm bill that many people don't understand. Pete Koppelman understands. He's a dairy producer from Manitowoc. He's also the senior vice president of member and government relations for Land O'Lakes. I asked him to explain more about this position with Land O'Lakes and what he sees or doesn't see happening with the farm bill.
Yeah, I've been in this role as I termed out. My term limits ended at Land O'Lakes for the board of directors, and CEO came to me and said, hey, look, you're stepping off the Land O'Lakes board. You've got adult kids home with you on the farm. Would you consider a role with Land O'Lakes, working with our members, working with our government relations team, working with our corporate governance? So that's what I work on, right? It's how we go about governing Land O'Lakes as a cooperative, with electing our regional council reps, our delegates, as well as our board members. It's about working with our members, not only our dairy members, but also our cooperative, local cooperative members on our federated side, on the ag side of our business, as well as working with our government relations team. And that team is active and up and running, and Beth Ford has us going on all eight cylinders.
Yeah, well, and today, you know, it's a lot of wheels turning, not necessarily a lot of things getting done. Let's focus in on the farm bill, or lack of progress on the farm bill, Pete. Tell me a little bit about what you're focused on, where your eye is trained right now, and help people understand why we've got to stay on this. This is not something that is going to happen unless we present pressure on people in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we know that this Congress, especially, I think each year they get a little more divided, a little more aligned to one side or the other. And the big sensible middle seems to be disappearing a little bit or diminishing. And I think we've got a real opportunity here to push awareness and the need for Farm Bill and the aspects it works on, which is not only the ag commodity priorities, but also feeding those that are not able to feed themselves appropriately. So tying those two together is very important. Getting a Farm Bill passed, we're still operating under the 2018 Farm Bill, which was extended for a year, which gives us till September 30th. But conditions change, right? We need to work on safety net. We need to work on updating the dairy margin coverage program. We need to work on additional dollars for safety net, because we're seeing some depressed commodity prices now, and this is more important now than ever.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always about budget. That's the other thing that seems to stub our toe once in a while, Pete. Is it about us asking for more money, or is it misunderstanding about where money should be going?
Well, I think it's really the interpretation of where additional funding would come from for new or expanded programs. there's disagreement on how to fund different portions of the farm bill. And this is where the question comes up. Should we keep the ag part separate from the feeding portion of the farm bill? And what I don't think people are aware of is that of the top 10 most food insecure counties in the U.S., 9 of them are rural counties. So feeding Americans is not a rural-urban issue. It's an issue across the country. And it turns out that growing food and feeding people are very much related. And with only 35 of the 435 members of Congress coming from rural districts, we need votes. We need votes on this farm bill that understand how important it is that this 1% of the population that's not only feeding the 99 other percent in the U.S., but also exporting is, you know, it's important that we keep farmers healthy financially and moving forward. And that, you know, a big part of the farm bill we want to see evolve to is some of the export, the foreign market development program, as well as the market access program. You know, we've got a administration right now that's not evolving very far on bilateral or multilateral trade agreements. We're pushing them to continue to enforce the agreements that we have, but we're losing share. We're in a negative net trade surplus in agriculture, and we were minus $20 billion last year, and we're going to be probably another $10 billion behind that for this coming year. So it's a big issue.
You know, and what seems to be a big part of conversation around the farm bill is pulling from one to give to another. It doesn't look like our pool of money per se is going to get any bigger. The battle over good projects, Pete, that you and I know work, conservation tillage, all of the work that's been done by farmers in many of those different programs pays dividends, but there's a faction that says, but don't take it away from the SNAP, the EBT program.
Well, and you're right, some of the discussions going on right now are not really even about taking it away, but more around how often it should be updated, right? So I think maybe we're getting closer, but the problem we now have, and by the way, you're right, absolutely right on some of the conservation funding that was more recently allocated to the USDA through the Inflation Reduction Act. There's some good, sensible programs in there that advance conservation practices that are voluntary, incentive-based. We've got to understand where each farmer is at and how to meet them there and continue to work that direction that help promote cleaner water and help move us on down that sustainability journey.
Let's focus in specifically on dairy, Pete. We were talking, again, Pete Koppelman is along with us. He is one of the staff members, the senior vice president of member and government relations with Land Lakes. And, of course, a lot of you in Wisconsin know, a longtime dairy producer, dairy owner himself. Let's focus in on dairy. I mean, right now, every other week, it seems we're worried that the federal government could potentially shut down. That's a big deal for farm service agency offices that are doing dairy margin coverage, for example, or beginning farm loans. And then you take a look at, we had federal milk order hearings that just wrapped up at the beginning of calendar year 2024. We're waiting on rulings for that. I mean, dairy producers have a lot of reason to keep an eye on what's going on in Washington, D.C., farm bill being a priority.
Right, absolutely they do. There is, so thank goodness we've got, we had the extension for the farm bill and now the appropriations bill that looks like we've got agreement for the ag appropriations part of the bill. So we should, local FSA offices are open for 2024 dairy margin coverage signups, which will be retroactive to the January 1st date because there will be a payout at the 950 level for DMC. But you're right, we've got to keep, there's updates coming. I met two weeks ago with the head of the USDA Ag Marketing Service, the dairy division. And so it's the group that has all the market Federal Marketing Order administrators, as well as the head of the group. We talked through timeline. We need to keep that ball rolling, updating how farmers, federal orders are pretty, I think there's a lack of understanding out there. They've been around for a long time. The Federal Milk Marketing Order really allows the producer to regulate the processor. And not too many people understand that. And federal orders, federal marketing orders are pretty unique. There aren't many commodities that have them. It brings about a real transparency to pricing and to reporting and understanding what's going on in the industry. It's something the beef industry is looking for and looking to get. So renewing the federal orders, getting them updated is a pretty critical issue.
Pete Koppelman, a dairy owner from Manitowoc, also the Senior Vice President of Member and Government Relations for Land O'Lakes. Now, if you would like to reach out to your representative or senator, don't know how to do it quickly, we have posted a couple links on our podcast with Pete that should help you expedite the process. And like Pete said, it's not just a one and done. When it comes to the farm bill and trying to get it over the finish line, or when it comes to federal milk orders and staying engaged in the process, it's going to take more than one call, more than one email to make your presence felt. Again, find those links on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, under the podcast playlist.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Max Inc. on Civic Media live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. So I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian, author Rich Scheidner and Jeopardy rock star Ben Chan. It's Nightlight, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
That operates Ag Site Crop Consulting, and he says, you can't predict exactly what's coming your way this growing season, but there's a couple things we already know, namely that we're dealing with dry subsoil moisture just because we didn't pick up a lot of snow this winter. He said that's something that farmers are going to have to deal with.
I mean, if we've got moisture now in early spring, let's conserve that moisture. So, for example, like with cover crops, that's been a very hot buzzword for the past several years, but it's just cover crop management right now to conserve soil moisture. So in other words, if we're looking at the forecast and there's not a lot of rain there, or we've got farms that are tend to be on the dry side, we're going to target terminating those cover crops earlier than later. And we're also going to target getting the crop in the ground earlier than later while we still have soil moisture. Same thing for weed control. We can't let weeds take our valuable moisture either. So planting
those weed control passes earlier than later is always going to be good.
Eric Birschbach, he's a crop consultant with AgSight Crop Consulting. And that cover crop question is one that a lot of folks have been discussing. And it's not just about when do we terminate it. It's about if the nutrients are going to be there.
So in dry years, our nutrients tend to get tied up without the freeze-thaw cycle of frost this year. Our nutrients may not be quite as available as our soil structure hasn't really been frozen and fractured. So I think it's always important to look at a current soil test. To start there, look at your soil fertility, where you're at, and pick up those needs where you need fertilizer and lime. pH, just an investment in lime, can make your nutrients more available, but that's just part of an overall good management program.
Eric Birschbach, he's an independent crop consultant. His company, AgSight Crop Consulting. Let's talk weather now. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. You know, that issue of trying to get those nutrients to move through the soil profile got a little extra help with this moisture. Good morning and thank you to Greg from West Bend for chiming in. He said they've already picked up 1.1 inches of rain, and he kind of wonders, is this helping to improve our position on the drought monitor, Stu?
Well, I'd sure hope it is. I mean, this water isn't really running off anywhere. And I know some producers here did some chisel plowing a while back, so that's able to soak in instead of running off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope it's making a good difference.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. The numbers are still coming in, and your numbers are welcome. 877-301-FARM, our talk text line, 877-301-3276. More rain on the way today.
A little bit more, yeah, maybe another quarter inch. I've got a couple of reports here. Some friends weighed in, John and Paul over near Armstrong and up toward Banner, both about 3/4 of an inch, 75, 76 hundredths, 72 hundredths at Madison, Elkhorn, 1 4/10. But another couple of tenths, really a possibility today. Low pressure is going to move from Iowa right up into northwest Wisconsin. There are folks in Minnesota, west of Red Wing, with a winter weather advisory till noon yet today. There's snow in Minnesota, rain in eastern Minnesota, all the way up from southern central to northwest Wisconsin. Rain's the name of the game yet today for most of us in Wisconsin. Maybe some snowflakes mixing in late tonight in the west, but it should all be ending and we start to dry out but stay cooler as we head to midweek. I'll have forecast details right after this.
One of the most common questions farmers ask is, why don't we see commercials about Wisconsin dairy products on TV anymore? Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, has the answer and shares more on just how they're using your checkoff dollars.
We are very careful about how we send those farmer dollars. We don't want to be preaching to the choir, so we don't need to tell that story right here. And also, years ago, you didn't have the opportunity as a marketer to define your audience and say, I'm looking for people who are specifically interested in cheese, who have a specific income, for people of a certain age group, a specific household. So now we have such sophisticated targeting that we can do on social and with our digital advertising. We also have opportunities within search engine optimization. There are so many things that we can do, and marketing is so much more sophisticated than just buying a commercial on TV. We can spend money so much more wisely.
That was Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. To learn more, check out wisconsindairy.org.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, let's talk about clouds and rain today. Maybe even a rumble of thunder here or there. Some snowflakes in the west later. We head up toward the low 50s early. Temps drop, even dropping toward the upper 30s. South winds gust near 30. Mostly cloudy, rain ending. Maybe some snowflakes in the west. Low to mid 20s with the west winds gusting. Morning clouds tomorrow. The sun breaks through later. Upper 30s are about 40. And Thursday, sunny skies back into the upper 40s, Pam. West winds, though, at least 10 to 15 only as we head on toward Wednesday and Thursday. But it's still wet today.
Yeah, for sure. And that is what you better prepare for if you're headed up to the EAA grounds. And I'm reminded, brand new this year, free parking, free admission. That'll make getting onto the grounds a lot easier. And if you're getting rained on, that's a good thing.
makes a big difference.
Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us with the weather details you're looking for, and those are the show details that I've got for you. I'd love your rainfall details. Can you get them to me? The toll-free number, 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line, 877-301-3276. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, yet on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Richard Cantu. There's been a massive response in Baltimore, including the U.S. Coast Guard, to the collapse of a large section of the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River. It happened after a container ship hit a bridge support. At an average 30,000 vehicles daily, it's the busiest bridge in Baltimore. Fire spokesman Kevin Cartwright to ABC News affiliate WBAL Radio.
We have a reason to believe that there are vehicles, including one possible tractor trailer or large truck, and it's anticipated that approximately 7 individuals are actually in the water.
Additionally, there was overnight work going on at the bridge. So far, we don't know the conditions of those who went into the water. At present, there's no word of casualties. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are faulting Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher for leaving the U.S. House before his term is over. Roger Roth tells the Journal Sentinel he's disappointed by Gallagher's decision. Andre Jacques says he'd be in favor of a special election. As it is, the seat would be vacant from late April to early January. Officials are investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on recall petitions targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says she called the Racine County District Attorney's Office after her signature was forged.
And I also called the Elections Commission to ask if there's a way to get my name redacted off the list because this doesn't represent me.
Haggerty spoke to WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight at 5 Sir Forum. The Bucks' Bobby Portis asked, what's it like to finally have Chris Middleton back?
It's fun to have a whole team, fun to, you know, build it these last 11, 10 games and, you know, try to trend in the right direction, man. It's that time of year now and it's exciting.
Baseball, the Brewers have some injury concerns. Outfielder Garrett Mitchell will be out the next 4 to 6 weeks or longer with a fractured left hand suffered in batting practice over the week. And a report from baseball insider John Heyman says that Jackson Chourio will need tending to his elbow nearly every day following an injury he suffered as a 12-year-old in a Venezuelan youth league. NFL Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he has no problem signing Jordan Love to a contract extension sometime soon.
Certainly having 4 years with him, I think, gives us a lot of comfort what he's all about and how, you know, his teammates look at him and the organization looks at him.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alvall. Noon to 2 on Tuesday, it's Matt Flynn, direct right here on the Todd Alvall Show at 12:30. Don't miss it on Civic Media.
It is going to be cloudy with a few rain showers this morning. That will change to snow by mid to late morning with another inch or so of accumulation possible by the time everything winds down late today into this evening. Temperatures falling as well will drop into the low 20s by late afternoon. The wind northwest 10 to 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Could see a few flurries with a high near 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does.
With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, you might be comfortable if you're headed up to the EAA grounds in Oshkosh today. It's day number one of the WPS Farm Show. It's going to rain. It's going to be a little windy. Daytime highs today around 51. Winds out of the southwest, about 17 miles an hour. So prepare accordingly, both visitors as well as exhibitors. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 40 degrees. Sunshine on Thursday, 47. So one story we're following for you this morning. We started hearing rumors about 10 days ago of a mysterious disease that was being identified by dairy operators in the Texas Panhandle. Their cows were getting sick, and it was kind of, you know, interesting symptoms. They had a fever. They would drop in milk production immediately, if not go out of milk production entirely. They were producing milk that was kind of thick and discolored. Nobody knew exactly what was going on, because then the cows would seemingly clear up and come back online. Well, yesterday we got an answer from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on what they think the mysterious disease is. Going to talk about that with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's on the way. I got a press release from, I think, every dairy-related organization in the United States reminding consumers that this milk would never make it to a processing facility, that everything is in check. Let's find out if it's impacting the markets this morning. We'll talk about that with John. So again, I'm Pam Youngke. Thanks so much for coming back around. Today is the 26th day of March. What can I tell you? On this day back in 2000, an ex-KGB officer became president of Russia. You know him today as Vladimir Putin. At the time, he was lauded for bringing Russia out of an economic crisis that stretched back to the 1990s. Vladimir Putin becomes president of Russia on this day back in 2000. Happy birthday on this Tuesday morning to comedian, actor Martin Short. He's 74. Singer, songwriter Diana Ross. She is 80 years young, and now you know. Well, we want you to know Wisconsin is really amping up the excitement for the premiere event tomorrow evening on the Bravo Network. We're calling it the Top Chef Effect. Sweeping across Wisconsin. Remember, season 21 of Top Chef on the Bravo Network is going to be all about Wisconsin. They pivoted between filming locations in Milwaukee, Madison, also up in Door County. And they're not only including a lot of Wisconsin food trends, food ingredients, but Wisconsin farms as well, like the Hop Yard down in Paoli, Wisconsin, just south of Madison. Rich Joseph is the owner and operator of the Hop Yard in both Paoli and in Evansville. He's also the overseer of the Wisconsin Hop Exchange, where growers come together with their product to market to microbrews all across the United States. So I got a chance to visit with him yesterday, and he is excited about the watch party that they're going to host tomorrow evening. See, they've been told that Wisconsin hops will be one of the products that you see in episode number one. Rich explains how the Hop Yard got involved with the project.
Well, I actually received an email back last May. And asked if they could come out and meet with me. Basically, they didn't say it was Top Chef. They just said it was a television show, and they wanted to come out and they wanted to learn about hops. And so they sent four or five people out, and I spent a good part of a day talking to them about hops and showing them our locations and things like that. And then they got back to me and said, hey, we'd like to shoot some film out when you're harvesting. They considered us to be maybe one of the where they do an actual episode, but that didn't pan out. But then they came out, and in August, middle of August, brought a film crew out and spent a good chunk of the day here doing aerial video and video of us harvesting hops and showing them what the hops, you know, our harvesting process and our drying process. And so we're really hoping that we get some B-roll, you know, of our hop farm on the show this Wednesday.
Yeah, now that's one thing you just kind of still don't know. They're pretty tight-lipped about what's going to be featured or what's going to be seen on every episode, aren't they?
Yeah, they really don't tell you a whole lot. I have been in touch with some of the producers, and they did let us know that, you know, we would be, you know, on that episode, this one on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then now, if you look up the Bravo Network, they do have a little more information. They have been showing, even in their clips, they're showing that the hops are going to be used as one of the main ingredients on the show on Wednesday. So we should get some pretty good exposure there, hopefully, for us as a Hop Garden Brewing and also as Wisconsin Hop Exchange and Wisconsin's high-quality hop production.
That's for sure. Rich Joseph along with us. Now, part of the reason why I wanted to catch Rich before we get to Wednesday is you're hosting a watch party. You want to build the excitement for that element of Wisconsin agriculture. Tell them about what you got planned.
Yeah, so we have two locations, one in Paoli, which is just south of Verona, just north of Belleville, and then another location, we had another tap room in Evansville that we started last year. And so we're just inviting the public out to come out and watch the Bravo show Top Chef at our location. The show starts Wednesday at 8 p.m. And we'd like to pack the house and have a lot of fun with it. And so we're offering a free beer or soda for anybody that comes out to watch the show. And we'll have some snacks there. And we'll see how much exposure we get. We might get hardly none to... you know, a few minutes, who knows?
Well, we can all prost if we see your hand holding a bind or something, anything, huh?
Yeah. Every time you see a hop, you can play the old Bob show with hop.
I don't know if we want to do that, but it is definitely going to be a festive atmosphere for sure. That's Rich Joseph. He is the owner and operator of Hop Yard Brewing in both Paoli and Evansville, staging those watch parties starting 7:30 tomorrow night at both locations. Like he said, he'll provide you a beverage and you'll get a chance to learn a little bit more about the folks behind the scenes for episode one of Top Chef on the Bravo Network. All right, we're talking markets with John Heinberg in a moment. Let me get you the markets while I'm sitting here. They are lower, not impressed with what direction our corn, beans, or wheat are going this morning. December corn right now is down a penny and a half at 4.73. November soybeans are down 6.5 at 11.92. July wheat's unchanged at 5.70. Dairy markets yesterday, the barrel cheese was up a half at 1.43. 40-pound block cheese up 3.5 at 1.42¾. AA butter was up 5.5 to 2.86¼ per pound. This morning, April milk is up 19, $15.94 a hundredweight. May milk up 16 at $16.48 a hundredweight. All right, coming up next, our man John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. One of the stories I want to cover with him, this mysterious disease that impacted dairy herds in the Texas Panhandle. Apparently, they've got answers, but is it impacting our markets? All that coming up yet on a Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The KreitzCast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
KreitzCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, signs of progress, maybe, to fix immigration rules for the many migrants who keep Wisconsin dairy farms operating.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Rain in the form of snow. Let's pivot now. Our man John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is up and at him early on a Tuesday to join us and give us an update on the markets. John, I want to start out with that national story that we have kept an eye on at a distance. Texas Panhandle Dairy Farms had witnessed a mysterious disease probably about 10 days, 2 weeks ago, that literally was bringing dairy cows down or shutting off milk production completely. The milk they were producing was kind of thick and, yellowish. Didn't know what was going on. Now we find out it is a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza. Doesn't kill the cows, I should say. Takes them, kind of like humans, a couple days to get over the flu, and then they're back on. What's the market got to say about this? Anybody paying attention besides our dairy industry and those folks in the panhandle?
Well, obviously, there's been some chatter about it and trying to figure this out over the last couple of weeks. It looks like actually some cases went back to as far back as February, very isolated. Now we're seeing it in Kansas, Texas, in terms of the herds and New Mexico that have been infected. Again, now this kind of broke yesterday in terms of what it actually was. It was really very confusing for the dairy industry. And again, now some swabs of the cattle as well as tests in the milk are showing the avian influenza that comes through. Again, avian influenza is very highly pathogenic, obviously, in the bird side of things, but it does touch other animals as well. So what's it do to the market? Getting back to the key question, like a lot of it comes down to perception. Obviously, we're still talking very small numbers and actual total production. It looks like it's really only affecting certain groups of cows, in terms of in the milking stage, like mid-lactation cows seem to get hit with it a little bit more. I was reading this morning, too, infection rates are around 10 to 15% within those herds, but still it's a factor that's in that milk. Obviously, the USDA is trying to make sure that milk is out of the system. They made a statement yesterday that the milk system is safe and the milk is safe for consumers. And, obviously things are, if it's unpasteurized, that's a different story, in that regard. So what does it do in the markets? Again, like I said, perception could be some of the key there, that the milk markets have been beat up so badly in the last handful of weeks. Anyway, it's just another layer on top. We'll have to see how the market reacts today. Sometimes those things in terms of how the market handles it comes down to more, again, the sentiment, the concern, does this slow down some more demand, things of that nature. We'll see how those numbers kind of play out. Again, I think the average consumer in terms of knowledge sometimes gets a little concerned when they read headlines and the market can react to those headlines.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, evolving. But again, folks, the bottom line is the milk supply is safe. Don't change your buying habits there. So let's pivot now and talk. This is actually a pretty big week as far as information coming into the marketplace. Two key reports, kind of the biggest chunk of information we've seen in the new calendar year, huh, John?
Well, there's a couple major reports during the year that are the major goalpost setters, and this is one of them this week, which is the USDA planting intentions report. What are they going to be those forecasted planted acres for corn, soybeans, and wheat, as well as other crops? That comes out on Thursday at 11 o'clock Central Time. And again, it resets the goalpost basically for the next 6 months or next handful of months until we get the June plantings numbers, where we see where the numbers actually are. And then we get the third report like this in September, you know, the final plantings numbers. So, yeah, we're looking at USDA's analysts are forecasting 91.7 million acres of corn, 91.8, somewhere in that window. That's up a little bit from the Outlook Forum in terms of the market's expectations. Soybeans about 86.5 million acres, and wheat about 47.3 million acres. Obviously, the big focus is going to be on those corn and soybean acres where we are. Obviously, corn supplies are heavy. A little nervous because of the nice weather we've had up and, you know, for the most part this late winter and early spring, that corn number could get even be heavier, which could add to that impression that we have a very large supply out there and could be very limiting on price. And obviously soybeans, the competition globally, but, you know, U.S. supplies are still relatively tight. And if those acre numbers could even be lighter, that could just add a little bit of fuel to a market that's trying to find a little bit of footing here.
Yeah, and wheat is just one of those can't find good news, generally speaking.
It's very difficult in the wheat markets, but just because obviously where we are in the global scale in terms of production, the European as well as the Russian prices pretty much run the entire world in terms of wheat supplies and wheat prices on the export front, and we just can't compete there at this time frame. But again, still very key because of the different classes of wheat that we offer. Those are different special markets in some of these, and then again, so we're going to be watching those numbers very closely, and we expect the wheat numbers to be down about 2 million acres from last year. The question is, where does that go? We expect to see more cotton acres come into play. Do we see a little bit more sorghum? That market's actually been seeing some good demand. And obviously the battle between corn and soybeans in the mix will be a big piece of this.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is along with us. Don't forget, you can contact him at 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. TotalFarmMarketing.com is the website. John, let's pivot now, go towards the cattle side of things. We had talked about beef movement. I see they have essentially stopped beef from Paraguay having an opportunity to come into the United States. But there is beef coming into the United States. Just help them better understand how and why.
Yeah, we've always been an importer of beef, and some of the reasons why, obviously, it comes into our mixes in terms of the hamburger side. It's more of a blending type product than it is anything else. You know, globally, we are the only ones on the global scale that sells high quality cuts of beef across the board in terms of the loins and the roasts and things of that nature. But a lot of the other beef that gets mixed in or brought in the United States goes into our trim and into our ground hamburger, things of that nature. It's one of the reasons why we see hamburger prices probably stay where they are. You know, we go pick up a burger at a fast food restaurant, we're not really caring about, you know, is that Brazilian beef, Mexican beef, Canadian beef, and it's blended in. You know, we don't know. You know, so one of the way they keep costs down is by bringing imported beef in at lower quality and obviously grinding that into the process, you know, versus the expensive beef here. You know, obviously what drives the beef industry and beef prices in terms of here in the United States, it's about the rib and the, you know, and the rib trade, which obviously is our steaks, our prime rib, things of that nature. That is the driving cuts in terms of U.S. beef prices.
And we've been holding pretty firm as far as overall consumer demand on that and keeping our market healthy.
That is one of the things that has been a concern, and it has been still holding in place. Obviously, you look at the economic data, the job market looks relatively strong. People are working. People are willing to pay up a little bit for that quality beef so far, at least at this time frame. It is one of those things that concerns me in the beef cattle market if we often see that fall apart. But we're looking at choice carcasses right now trading well over $300 a pound. Those are record level prices. In fact, some of the highest prices we've ever seen, with the exception of when we had that plant fire handful of years ago, as well as obviously the spike in retail prices from COVID. So just shows you the strength in that U.S. beef market with those choice carcass values hanging at those levels.
Gosh, I'm glad when you're along with us. So we better, keeping in mind all of that corn bean data coming to the marketplace, time for risk management strategy for sure, huh, John?
That's definitely what I'm talking to producers about here. This market could be, this is a report can be a major mover. Take advantage of what value is there. If the numbers come in high, we could see both either corn or soybeans really roll out of bed pretty quickly, or we can see things take off. So, you know, lock in the value that's there. I know it's not the best, but make sure you got some type of risk management in, because we could see markets move very aggressively here and make things more difficult for prices if we roll over.
And a limited time frame this week with Good Friday.
Yeah, with the Easter holiday, we won't be trading on Friday, but we'll be back at it on Monday.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll be back at it next week with you on Tuesday, all right?
Sounds great. Have a great Easter.
Excellent. Talk to you soon. Yeah, that sounds good. John Heinberg joining us live this morning. Again, as we said, TotalFarmMarketing.com. They're out of West Bend. TotalFarmMarketing.com. Or if you want to give them a call, 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779, or John H. at TotalFarmMarketing.com. So glad he's along with us. We'll check you out tomorrow morning before we head up to Oshkosh for the WPS show.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Looking out for the needs of migrant and seasonal farm workers. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Great Lakes Center for Farm Worker Health and Well-Being is tasked with helping migrant and seasonal farm workers have healthier, safer, and more socially adjusted lives. Dr. Linda Forst is director and principal investigator for the operation at the University of Illinois, Chicago.
The situation for farm workers themselves is not a lot better than it was 50 years ago. The intersection of immigration, health, and employment, or, you know, labor arrangements, hasn't really changed very much in decades, despite the number of resources and people that are focused on this problem.
Force says these farm workers are vital to a large segment of American agriculture, yet their contribution is widely and largely ignored.
Because we have a steady stream of people that are willing to do difficult work, which people in the U.S. are not willing to do, I think that we don't manage that workforce with as much regard and respect and honor as we should.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas.
Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out, and for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how.
This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.